All right, you got a Bible, turn to John chapter 1. We're going to speak here briefly for a few minutes here, just on Christ and what he means and what it really means to celebrate Christmas. And, you know, it really is refreshing to see this year as a country, and for those that are going through around the sea, people saying Merry Christmas again and seeing Christ back in Christmas and mentioning the name of Jesus and talking about him more and more. Very refreshing to see that and see that in our own lives. And of course, it never was illegal for us to talk about it ourselves. And a lot of people get all upset saying they can't say it here, they can't say it there. And I always ask them, are you saying it in your home? Are you saying it in your car? Are you saying it with your family? Because really, that's our responsibility. And it's our responsibility as families, our responsibility as parents, and for those who are Christians to share with our families, those who we have influence with. Christ says that we're to go into all the world, and it does not mean to go to the ends of the earth. It does mean that as well, but it means as you are going, and Christ puts you in certain spheres of influence, that you know people, your family with people, you work with people that I may never come into contact with, or you, someone else may not never know or be able to reach, but God puts you in their life for that purpose, for that meaning, and for us to never forget that. That's why we're here, to share Christ with others. He saved us, he's forgiven us, and we're on our way to heaven, and we should want to share that with as many people as we can as we are on our way. And so it's important for us to look at Christmas, to remember Christmas, but to share that with family, with your kids, with your grandkids, with those who are around you time and time again. And John chapter 1 is great, great theology. It's a great thing that you can read. These verses, I'm going to read the first 18 verses and just talk a little bit about it. But these scriptures here are pretty well known. Some of you may have memorized scripture out of these. I have these scriptures I have as well. But some of them can give you some head scratchers. They can take you many, many years to study through these 18 verses. And to, you can get as deep as you want to get. You can get as shallow as you want to get. So we're going to read the first 18 verses. We're going to talk about a few things this morning. So let's read John 1:1-18. It says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So, a little more than a mouthful, right? If you think about it, when you think about Christ, you think about Jesus, you think about eternity, right? You think that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the physical birth of Christ, but the reality is, Christ was already created. He was not created, he was already existed in eternity. That Christ existed with God in eternity past through eternity future. And though we see the story of Christmas played out on earth, it was already scripted in heaven. That it was already scripted in heaven, and we just get to see the story as it played out on earth, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you think about it, we see Christ born in Bethlehem's manger, and people look at that and they say, well, here's where he was physically created. Christ was a created being. You may hear major religions or denominations say that, but it is not true. Christ was not a created being. Christ was not something that was an angel. He was not created. He was not of any other, of nature, of anything other than God himself. That they were of the same nature. Christ is of the same essence of God. So Christ is eternity. He existed pre-time coming to Bethlehem. He had already existed with God. He was the pre-existent one. In the beginning was the Word. That sets forth eternity. And we really don't know how old the universe is. Some people say it's billions of years old. Some say it's millions of years old. Some say it's thousands of years old. The Bible doesn't really teach us how old the earth is or how old it really is. But the Bible does teach, the doctrine does teach that however the world, however old the universe is, Christ was there from the beginning. In the beginning, the Word was. He was there. He is in eternity, for eternity. And that's why when we come to Christ, and you talk about Christ, that's why we can know who holds our eternity. Listen, if you have a God that was created, or you believe in someone who is a created being, or you have a Savior that says he was created in some form or fashion, then you would not believe in a God who is of eternity. We know that Christ is from eternity. He is living in eternity. He exists in eternity. And we can be sure of our eternity when we place our trust in him. And so when we come to Christmas, we look not only at Christ's deity, talk about it later, but we talk about Christ in eternity. That in the beginning was Christ. He was there, the pre-existent one. Not only was he there, he's part of the Trinity. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And when you think about it, the Trinity, the Bible teaches the Trinity. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three of them. Three in one, one in three. The Bible teaches the doctrine of the Trinity. Someone says you try to explain the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. You deny the Trinity, and you'll lose your soul, right? Because we know it is something that God teaches, but it is hard to understand. And there's things that you're going to see in the Bible that you got to take by faith, and you know the Bible teaches them. You know they exist, and that's what one of the things of the Trinity. I believe in a lot of things I don't understand, right? We don't understand electricity, right? We don't understand how all electricity works, but when I flip on a light switch, I expect the electricity to work. I know it works, right? I don't understand a lot of things, but we trust in him because we have faith in him. We know it is true and it works. Well, the same is true with the Bible. We know that the Bible teaches a Trinity. We may not understand it. We can't write it down. And sometimes it's hard to understand. A lot of people go to mathematics and say, well, you know, it's Trinity's like this. It's 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but you can't see it that way, right? You can't even explain it in mathematics. You can't explain it in nature. You can't explain it in time. But I think it's pretty cool when you look at the Bible, you do see everything set up in Trinity, right? Set up in three forms. You got the body, the soul, and the spirit. You got time, which is past, present, and future. You know, you have all these things that come up, and you see the sets of three over and over in the Bible. But we know the Trinity is three in one, one in three. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's the Trinity. I like the way the little boy explained the Trinity. He said, three in one, one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. I have to think about that. We know it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Christ was part of the eternity. He was part of the Trinity. And now we see him on Christmas. We see him as deity. The Word was God. Who is Jesus? He's the Word. Where did he come from? He came out of eternity. And you say, how did he come into the world? Look down at verse 18. It says that he came. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. See, where did he come from? He came from God. God sent him. God gave Christ to this earth. In Isaiah, it says that he has given a son. We shall call his name Jesus. Verse 14 also says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he not only came to reveal the Father or him in the human flesh, but he came in the flesh and he existed in the flesh so he could come under the law of woman so he could bear our sins and your sins and my sins. You see, the greatest need of human beings was not an educator. God could have sent someone to educate us. The greatest need was not a superstar, or it was not a football player. It was not a sports fan. It was the greatest need of mankind was a Savior. And Christ came for that need. That God sent Christ, a Savior of the world. And he came to be born of a virgin. That means he was virgin born. He had a earthly mother, and he had a supernatural father. And if Jesus Christ came, he lived a life that was a perfect life. He did what we could not do. I was just reading back through his life, and I was reading through the temptations that he went through. I was reading through the three great temptations he went through. I was reading over and over again, and without a question, when you read through scriptures, you see that he lived a sinless, perfect life. He lived the life that we could not live. He paid the price that we could not pay. And because of that, that made him eligible, that made him able to take upon our sin and your sin and my sin. If he would have sinned, he would have to pay for his own sin. But he did not sin, so he did not have to pay the payment for sin. We sinned. Our payment was death. Our payment was separation from God. Our payment was hell. But Jesus took that and put it upon himself, and he gives us his righteousness. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about it. The glory of the story of Christmas is that Christ came, he bared our sins upon his body, and he gave us his righteousness. Now, you remember a few years ago, several years ago, that the government was doing the cash for clunkers? You know, they would take your old car that had the bad gas mileage and all that stuff like that, and you would trade it in, they'd give you money, and they called it cash for clunkers? Well, let me tell you, this is one heavenly cash for clunkers program, right? I mean, we take our sinful lives and our bodies and the lives that we have ruined and wrecked, and we take it to Christ and we trade it in. And we come out with the sinless, perfect body of Christ. When God looks at us, he sees us just as he saw Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what a cast for clunker, right? I mean, think about that. He is there. He is deity. He took on his earth. That's why he came to this earth. He had to come. And if you think about it, Christ came to the earth because we couldn't go to God. You see, that was the big separation. That sin had separated us from a holy God. That God is unapproachable. God lives in eternal dwelling as the holy and righteous ruler of the world. He is completely holy. And he could not see sin. And so, because sin could not enter his presence, and because he loved us so much, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He gave him for you and for me. And that's why Christ had to come to this earth. And he lived a specific life here on this earth. And he took the pain. He took the sin. He took the punishment. His wrath was poured out upon his Son. Think about that. Here comes Christmas time. We talk about the gifts that we're given. And we talk about all the great things that happen. We talk about family. We meet together. But when you really think about the story of Christmas, you think about the story of God and Christ came and he gave himself. And he went to a cross, and all of the wrath of God was poured out upon him. All of it. You know, a lot of people say when Christ had to look into the cup, they'd say, well, I wonder what was in that cup. I wonder what he saw in that cup. You know what he saw in that cup? He saw the wrath of God in that cup. And on the cross, when he died, he took the wrath of God for you and for me. It says, the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. That his heart was broken. His life was carried the penalty for you and for me. And because he came and because he did that, we can now live free before God. We can live before him. And I love what verse 12 says. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see that? But as many received him. You know, I love giving gifts, but there's only one way to give a gift, right? That's if someone receives a gift. Think about it. You can give all that you want to, but it's never received. But what good is the gift, right? But that's what Christ, the story of Christ is. Not only was it given, but it's for those who receive. But as many as receive him. Listen, that's a personal decision. And listen, I know we're here on a Sunday morning, Christmas Eve, and you probably heard the story a million times. But it never fails. We all need to check our hearts to make sure that we believe in Jesus Christ. That you have to do it for yourself. Listen, your family can't do it for you. Your mom, your dad, you may be Christian, you may call your family Christian, but there should be a time and point in your life when you have received Jesus Christ. When you received him. Now listen, I know people preach this before and they say, if you don't know the exact day and the exact minute and the exact time that it happened, let me tell you, then you are not saved. Listen, I don't know the exact time or the exact moment or exactly when it happened for me, but I know it has happened, right? I mean, I know I have received them. And I know some people know exactly where they were and what they were doing and immediately when it happened. But I'm going to tell you, there is something that comes in your heart and the spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's what the Bible says. It says that we can look at the outside and we can see you come to church. We can see you talk the talk. We can see that you can say all the things that you want to say. But there's only one person who knows if you're saved or you're not saved. That's you. Yourself. That's it. It's personal. And that's what I love about God. He is a personal God. He is not one that one size fits all. You come in the group plan. You come on the family plan. You come on the Baptist plan. Listen, there's plenty of families and plenty of Baptists and plenty of Pentecostals and plenty of people who don't know Jesus. That has never personally received him. And that's what he says. But as many as received him personally, he gives them the authority. He gives them the power to become son of God. Think about that. Man, isn't that amazing? That when we look at Christ, we see him as the son of God. But the truth is, when we receive Christ, we become sons of God too. That we are his children. Let me tell you, I love my children. I will do anything with my children. I protect my children. I love my children. I take care of my children. And listen, God sees us the same way. And when we come to him, when we receive, we're his children. He loves us. He cares for us. He takes care of us. He even sees them. And even to them that believe on his name. See that? Believe on his name. Not just in his name, but on his name. That we believe 100% that we believe on his name. I know I've used this illustration before. But you know, when you walk up to a chair, you see a chair, you say, man, that, you know, chair is pretty solid, you know, and it's got to be pretty solid. And I think to myself, you know, that might save me. And I learned my lesson, trust me. Several times I've hit a few chairs, wasn't solid enough, and kind of let you down, you know. But so many times you look at a chair and you say, man, there's no doubt that chair will hold me up. There's no doubt I can sit in that chair. I believe that chair will hold me up. But you know, I will never know if that chair will hold me up unless what happens? Unless I sit in that chair. And once I sit in that chair, then I know 100% for sure that that chair will hold me up. That held me up. And listen, that's the way it is with Jesus. Listen, you can say you know him. You can say you believe in him. You can say you know all about him. But until you yourself truly sit down and place your faith in what he has done for you. Until you say, listen, Christmas means more than just coming together with family. Talking about Christ, telling about how good he is, thinking about who he is. Christmas means that Christ died for me. For me personally. You know, one of the most powerful things I heard when I was growing up, a preacher would always say, for God so loved the world. And he'd say, you know what, take that world and take that out and put your name in that verse. He'd say, put your name in that, for God so loved Ted. That he gave his only begotten son, that if Ted believes in him, that Ted will never care. Think about that. Think about you personally. Can you put your name in that verse? Can you see yourself in that verse to see that God gave his son, not just for the world and not for America, not for your family, not for the church, but for you personally, that you receive Christ in your life? Man, what a blessing. What a miracle. What a salvation. What a God that we have. And it's all based upon what he says, finishing out John here. He says, for that Christ came and brings us grace and truth. Think about that. For why are you saying grace? It's unmerited favor. You can't explain it. No wonder why we sing Amazing Grace, right? No wonder why we talk about how great it is, because we don't deserve it. Listen, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. No one deserves it. No one could earn it, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest anyone suppose you can't earn it. You can't do enough good. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't make it. And nobody can make it. But by grace, God's grace, he's given you this gift that we don't deserve. And you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But by his grace, through Christ, we have a relationship with God that will change our life forever and ever and ever. And listen, may this Christmas be the Christmas that you remember and say, you know what? This was the first Christmas that I really personally trusted in Jesus. That this time I got it. This time I put aside all the parties. I put aside all the carrying on. I put aside all the going and talking to church and going to different things. This time I really got it that Christ loved me personally. You know, I find it hard itself to love themselves. You know that? You know, you can love other things, you love other people, and a lot of people might say you're a good person, and they might love you, and they say they're this, but you know, one of the hardest things to do is love yourself. is that when you truly begin to think of yourself, most people have a negative reaction of themselves. Like if I just say, hey, you're a good guy, most people in their mind will think, oh, I'm not that good. You know? Or you're a good girl, lady. Some of you say, yeah, I know I'm good. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. And you're a good girl. You're a good guy, right? I mean, most people don't like the way they look. Most people don't like what kind of job they have. Most people don't think they've fallen short in life. Most people think they've done something wrong, or they've messed up too much, or they've sinned too far, or they've done something in their life that's really messed up. And they are afraid that if everyone really knew how they really, really were, like they know how they are, that they wouldn't love them. But let me tell you something. God knows all about you. He knows everything about you, which is scary. I tell you, it's scary, right? Because he knows every thought. He knows every action. He knows every deed you've ever done, every evil mind, every evil thought. He knows everything about you. And the Bible says, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. On your worst day, God loves you. On your best day, God loves you. Everything you've ever done, he knows all about you. And guess what? He still gave Jesus Christ for you. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing grace. There's no other way to explain it. He loved you. However you are, the mess that you are, or the greatness you are, whatever it is, however your whole life that you place it in his hands, and he says he takes your mess and he'll turn it into a mess. Right? He'll take what you have and he turns it into what he wants it for your life. And that's the message of Christmas. That's why there's so much hope. That's why there should be so much joy at Christmas. So let me ask you one more time. Can you say, for God so loved, put your name in there? Can you say that you know you have eternal life because that you trusted in Jesus Christ? Can you say you really understand that he came to live a life that you couldn't live, and he paid a price that you couldn't pay, and that for you personally, you've received that, you become a child of God, and you can celebrate, and we can be excited because of what Christ has done for us. Let's pray together.